Ramsey TV.
I spent the last like 30 minutes looking for that one newsletter I published on. It was one of the Sunday specials. It was about that lady. If anybody can remember what issue this is, it's so frustrating. I'm looking in my own writing trying to find something that I wrote. I can't. There's too much of it. I was writing about this lady who's freaking out at a play. Do you guys remember that one? Yeah, she's going to a play and the action's driving her crazy. She can't take it because there's too much pressure, too much stress. She has a favorite character and she's worried that the character is going to get shot or whatever. So she starts making a commotion and a ruckus. She storms the stage to try to save her protagonist. Yeah, because she's crazy. I mean, she is totally engaged in the play, thinks it's real, jumps on stage. So they have to grab her, take her backstage, and they show her the script, because the playwright is backstage, and they show this lady the script. It's like, lady, I can show you what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. So she gets an actual look at what's going to happen. How do you know what's going to happen? I wrote the frickin' play. So she goes, she's calmed down now when she sees the end result, and she goes back in her seat, and now she can relax during the rest of the show. Does anybody know where that is? I don't even need to tell you about it, because I just described the whole thing. It has to do with God being in control and knowing and telling the end from the beginning and us knowing how this whole thing's going to end while we're going through it. Anyway, I do want to talk about that. So if anybody can remember what edition of the ZWTF, because I know it was a ZWTF. I don't know when. I ran it one Sunday. If anybody can remember that, let me know. And thank you for helping me publish the Evangel. This is Martin Zender, and I'm always happy to be with you. Thankful for all of you who support me in any way, either with, you know, nice emails you write me, encouraging emails, the comments you make on my YouTube videos, the financial support that you send me. I see it all, and I thank you for it. You know who you are. I couldn't keep going without it. So I started a book. What was it? A couple years ago, called The History of the Universe. And there's a particular chapter here. It's History of the Universe, Chapter 6. I'm not finished with this book. I was writing it live every weekend. And I just got bogged down. I just couldn't. Well, I know what happened. Somebody, you really don't want to hear about my personal life, but I'll just tell you this real quick. When I was living in the laundry room for 3.5 years, I was actually a happier person. Martin, how could you stand living in that small space? You were in a laundry room because the door was always open and Juliana was in the kitchen and Charles would run in. I need people, you see. So now I'm in the cottage. It's great, wonderful place. I can entertain guests here. I can have fellow believers lodging here. Love it. Except one thing. It's lonely. It's lonely. So lonely. Anyway, I'm going to start up on this book again. But in chapter 6, you can look ahead if you want. This is volume 8, issue 9 of the ZWTF. It's called God is at least as smart as Stanley Kubrick. Believe it or not, I looked to see how this guy's last name was pronounced. I know him. He's a famous director. The English say it Kubrick. Over in England, that is where he's from, but here in the U.S. we say Kubrick. I'm just going to say Kubrick. So don't write me letters saying you got his name wrong. I looked at 5 different sources, got 5 different answers. Some people say Kubrick. It's just absurd. So God is smarter than human script writers and directors, but he actually does the same thing as human script writers and directors. But I'm going to switch that around and blow your mind. I'm going to do it right now. In fact, one of the reasons that we have script writers and directors, both stage and screen, down here is so that God can point to them and say, see, that's what I do. It's what I did. I just did it on a bigger scale. It's the same thing, the exact same thing. Just raise the viewpoint. I'm doing it on a bigger scale, even as you read this, but the principles are the same. It's interesting. Somebody was telling me recently, trying to support the doctrine of free will, that, well, God made man in his own image. So, okay, but what does that have to do with free will? That since God controls everything, then he can give man to control everything? I can never get an answer to that question. But here's the answer, actually. God made us in our own image in that we are sub-creators, and we have people who enjoy telling stories, who enjoy engaging people in tales, in made-up things that reflect, that teach true things in life. And we call them novelists, we call them screenwriters, we call them scriptwriters, we call them, yeah, all those things. I mean, storytelling is as old as Adam. They sat around the campfire and word of mouth, they told stories. And they not just stories, but they told accounts. They kept history that way by word of mouth. But later on, they had stages. You see those ruins in Ephesus? Paul went to theaters and spoke to people. But when Paul wasn't there, during the week, they had productions. They wrote plays because people like to see the drama of life acted out on a smaller stage. It's containable. It's controllable. Somebody can write it, and they can work it so it can be like you want it to be. It's easier than real life. For one thing, it's less scary than real life because it's contained and you know that somebody wrote it, but you're able to get into the action. Why do you think people do this? It's because that's what God has done on a large scale. And God can really point to this and say, see, I do this very same thing. So the principle is the same. So let's compare these two things. We know that in a play and in a movie, everything's planned, right down to the dialogue, right? I got a question for you about God. What if everything is planned? What if there are no accidents? I'm going to engage you with a beautiful thing. Many of you know this. For those who don't know it, send this video to them. It doesn't hurt to be reminded of these things. I'm going to bring out new little nooks and crannies here, I promise you. But this is what I would say to somebody who's seeking out God. What if everything's planned? Don't freak out yet. Don't assume you know what that means. Don't assume that you think you know how that would end or how that would affect you. Just consider this. What if everything was planned? What if there were no accidents? What if every action upon this stage called Earth was scripted ahead of time? Here's one. What if everything has meaning? Everything. You know, if the world was random chaos, not everything could have meaning. I've had people completely contradict themselves who say that, well, there's a reason for everything. There's a reason for everything. And then they also believe in human free will. It makes no sense. It's contradictory. Human free will is randomness. It's chaotic. People can make independent decisions. 8 billion people can make independent decisions. They're not working toward a common goal, toward a common cause. So how can you know everything is going to work out and everything is as it's supposed to be? You would only know that is, the only way you would know that is if someone is following a script. What if everybody is following a script, but they're not aware that they're following a script? So what if everything is as it's supposed to be and everyone is where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing? What if even the bad things that happen, and there's a lot of them by my count, I haven't counted lately, but me not being able to find my own writing, that was a bad thing to me. I'm sorry, it was. What if even the bad things that happen have a purpose? As I say, people like to say things like, everything has a meaning, everything has a reason, there's a reason for everything. They like to say everything's going to work out in the end. But if there's not an author of this great play on the stage of life, you can't know that everything will work out in the end. So my proposition to you is, what if truly there is a reason for all things that happen? And what if the ending of the great production that we call life is guaranteed to be happy for everybody? This is why I want you. Somebody's got to find that writing of mine. It's so helpful to know the ending. Then you can go back to your seat and relax as things play out. This is the blessedness we have by believing Scripture. We know the ending. We don't know all the details in between, but God does. And every little thing is important because big events are made up of little events. There is no event that does not consist of millions of tiny little events that lead up to it. And without one of those tiny little events, the whole thing's thrown off. So, what if this everything is planned thing I am telling you about? What if it could be shown to be the actual truth? And that it could be proven from one verse in the Scriptures. And what if, when the script has been produced, when the whole thing's been played out, every single player in the production of life will look back and say, you know, because of the result, because of the glorious consummation of this production, unspeakable beauty, order, happiness, unending love in everyone, for everyone, I can see now from this vantage point why everything had to happen the way it did, including, here's the thing, including my role in the drama. And I tell you that this is precisely what's going to happen with even vessels of dishonor, especially vessels of dishonor. Pharaoh, as an example, his part was critical. And it's going to be seen at the Great White Throne when he stands in judgment that it was ultimately God who hardened his heart. And he will look back and see the important role he played, even though it was he played a heavy, right? He played what scriptures would call in Romans 9, a vessel of dishonor. So in this newsletter I'm referencing, volume 8, issue 9 of the ZWTF, apparently in the previous newsletter, I set forth the absurdity of a film or a stage production that had no script. This is what free will is. Try to imagine this, if you can. Try to imagine a film or a stage production having no script. A production where the players just show up. At least they all show up at the right time, but they just start ad-libbing everything. There's random scenes, random conversations. Every actor and actress is just doing what he or she wants. They're winging it. One actor tries to set up a situation and the other actor doesn't get it. He goes off on another trail. And then the next actor has to pick up that, and not knowing what the intentions of that person was, they go off on a whole nother thing. It's chaotic. I'm not sure anybody would go to see it. No, nobody would go to see it, except for maybe a joke or some kind of, I don't know. Why the hell would you go see it? Same reason you'd go watch a train wreck, I guess. Yeah, same reason why people going down the highway rubberneck it when they see an accident. You just like can't take your eyes away. It's terrible. But never in this way we're made in the image of God. Listen to this. Never has such a thing happened in the history of human film or stage production. If you find me a play or a movie that was conducted in this way, with no script, no dialogue, none of the actors even knowing anything about the whole thing. Nothing. No antagonists, no protagonists. People are just like fighting it out on stage to make their own thing happen. Has that ever happened? No. Why? Because it would royally suck and no one would pay to see it. No one would even enter a theater to have the mess dished up gratuitously. No, you couldn't. You couldn't even give people money to go see it. That's on the human stage. That's with human beings. Now, let me ask you this. Would God, the great, omniscient, almighty God, the one I talked about yesterday, would God have done something that not even the least gifted human creators among us would do or have ever done? Is God less wise than those who stumble into their underpants every morning and they drink too much coffee en route to their computers and they still manage to produce a production that makes sense, that has a logical beginning, end, and middle, and that every actor and actress knows what they're supposed to do? Even people who stumble into their underpants every day can do that, and they do it. And it has made for some beautiful productions. Gone with the Wind, It's a Wonderful Life, The Wizard of Oz. No, not Star Wars. No, I'm sorry. I'm not a Star Wars fan, sorry. Field of Dreams. Name your movie. Casablanca. The classics. This is Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. I am God. Ooh, if only we knew what that meant. I am God. Well, we do know what it means. And there is no other. What means, literally, subjector. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. He declares from ancient times things that are not yet done. So it's not like this time game that Christians play. I've laid this out to you before, where they have this thing where God looks into the future to see what people are going to do. Then he comes back to his time and he designates beforehand to believe those people who he saw in his wonderful telescope, high power lens, by the way. He saw them in the future believing in him. So he comes back to his time, dials back the telescope, and designates them beforehand. Take that and apply it to every other thing that happens in the world. No. Listen to Isaiah 46. This is scripture inspired by God, the Holy Spirit of God. Declaring the end from the beginning. He doesn't declare the end because he goes to the end to see what's going to happen because he doesn't know what's going to happen, so he looks into the future with a high-powered telescope. No, he declares the end from the beginning, quote, I'm still quoting, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Oh, but God, what do you mean your counsel shall stand? How do you know? You gave everybody a free will. What if people don't want your counsel to stand? What if people go off the script? How can you say with any confidence, my counsel shall stand? You can't say that unless you dictate the whole freaking thing. And that's what he does. Oh, he even says that here. Well, he doesn't use my language. He doesn't say, I dictate every freaking thing. He might as well listen to what he does say. I will do all my good pleasure. The Zender paraphrase is, I do every frickin' thing. I will do all my pleasure. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I'm quoting scripture. This is fantastic. I haven't read verse 11 in a long time. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. He brings it to pass. What is it? Everything. Because all is out of God. Tie this verse, Isaiah 46, 10 and 11, tie it into Romans 11, 36. All is out of, through, and into God. All is out of him. He dictates the script, the players, the dialogue before any of it's happened, all the action before any of it's happened. He has the end in mind before he starts the beginning. Let me say that again. He has the end that he wants before he starts the beginning, and every single action leads to the end. And there's no random chaos. There's not even a line out of place, because if one line is out of place, then the whole thing is wrecked. I mean, we build spaceships and we build computers and watches, these intricate machines, these delicate things. And if one gear is out of place in a Swiss watch, the whole thing's gone. The whole thing's destroyed. You can't do it. Every part has to work. It's integral to the whole operation. And again, I compare a human thing to God. I said that humans can sit down and write scripts and put forth pleasing stories that inspire people. And they do it because they're made in the image of God, and God put that in them to also be creators, to set forth things that they plan, that they meditate on beforehand. Now I'm telling you that as we see humans put little intricate parts in things like a Swiss watch, and every little thing is necessary in order for the thing to work. Are you telling me that God doesn't do that? Are you telling me that God has just these big blocks in place? He's got Monday, Wednesday, and Friday all figured out. And he's got Sunday figured out. But everything in between, he's going to like let it go loosey. He's not going to dictate every little thing. He's going to just hope it works out on Sunday. This is absurd. It's irrational. It's illogical. And it's not even how humans do it. You're telling me God's stupider than human beings? All right, I don't know about you, but I'm loving this topic so far. I am loving this so far. This is not just going to be, as I go through the key points of this newsletter, this is not going to be just a strict teaching on the sovereignty of God. I'm going to show you nooks and crannies. Not just nooks. No. In other newsletters, you just get nooks. And then in other newsletters, you just get crannies. But here, when I wrote this edition of the CWTF, I put nooks and crannies into it. And I'm going to bring those out to you. You're going to see it fleshed out like you never have before. Light's going to shine in places where you didn't realize there was light. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be beautiful. And I have to talk about this because, again, like I said yesterday, this is essential knowledge. You can't know God unless you know this. That he is a God of love, that he has a purpose, that he has a plan, and that everything, every little thing is working toward it. And that he spoke it into being and then made sure that it would come to pass. And as we're living now, the things that he spoke back before the eons began are coming to pass.
I just had a tremendous thought after I made this video. I mean, most of my thoughts are tremendous, but this, it hit me, that last verse. I rarely go to verse 11. I'm always quoting Isaiah 46:10, that God tells the end from the beginning. But this, indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. What is it? Everything that's brought to pass. Everything that is brought to pass is predicated upon God speaking it before the thing even happens. So unless he speaks something, it won't come to pass. But anything that does come to pass has done so because he has spoken it. And the next phrase, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Do it. Again, what is it? Anything that happens. Anything that comes to pass. It can't come to pass, or it can't be done, unless he purposed it. This tells me, and it should tell any thinking person, that nothing can occur without the counsel and the foreknowledge of God.
You're a vital part of it. Isn't it amazing that you were born? Isn't it amazing that you're one of the players? Can you imagine how thrilled you'd be if, like, Steven Spielberg called you up and said, I need you in a movie. I'm going to star you in a movie. Even if you had a bit part, right? People line up to be extras in these movies. You know, Burglar Number 4 or Bystander Number 46. It's just, you're in it. We're in it. We're in the greatest production ever. And without us, the whole thing falls apart. And I'm not even kidding. Everybody that's born needs to be born. If one thing changes, you see these stupid time travel movies. Actually, they're not stupid. I love them. Like Back to the Future. And it's so interesting because they act like there can be two parallel universes, which of course there can't be. But if one little thing changes in the past, then if it was even possible, then the future is something changes, even if a little thing changes, it has wild increasing consequences. So it can't be. It can't be that there's one extra player on this stage. It can't be that someone utters one line of dialogue that has not been written beforehand. It can't be. It can't even be in Hollywood. It can't even be in New York publishing or New York stage play, Broadway. It can't even be there. It sure as hell can't be that way with God.